today, I'm just going to bring you a short reflection that hopefully will just help us as we start this Easter weekend. I don't know about you, but I struggle somewhat with the term Good Friday, and I have for a lot of time. It's easy at Christmas, you say Merry Christmas, and Christmas, it's easy to be enjoy Christmas. Who doesn't love the birth of a baby? And Easter Sunday is so much easier because when we celebrate the resurrection, it's a joyous occasion, isn't it? And so it can. We enjoy those moments, whether it's Christmas or birthdays or Resurrection Sunday. But a day like today, we wonder, how do we respond to this? And I think to a certain extent, it's a bit like, well, it was the sin upon him, that's right. Well, it's a bit like, I think, Anzac Day, in a very similar way in which we remember lives that were sacrificed for our benefit. As Good Friday, we recognize the life of Christ for our benefit as well. And for many people, as they struggle to understand, how do I respond to Anzac Day? It's not a day where we get up and dance and sing and everything. It's quite a solemn occasion. And so for many of us, it's one of those tensions that we have. How do we respond to a day like today? And I just want to read a passage. It's not the actual crucifixion account, but it points directly to it. And it's found in Matthew 16, 21 to 25. So if you've got Bibles with you, you can follow along. If you've got it on your phone or your tablet, that's fine. Or we're going to have it up on the screen. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, and he said, "Never, never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Now, we see in this passage, as Jesus in his earthly ministry with the disciples, he's got this intense focus on what awaits him in Jerusalem on the cross. And Jesus here is calling, well, all of us, we're all his disciples, even though we weren't physically with him that day. He calls us to not only embrace the cross, that this must happen, but he also calls the disciples, and that includes us as well, to live out our own Good Friday. He calls us into his journey, his Friday. And I just want to bring you four short reflections on what I see here in this passage and what it means for us on a day like today. And the first reflection is this: Friday is the road to Sunday. The only way to get to a Sunday is you've got to pass through a Friday. Do you not? Today, we're going to focus on his crucifixion. On Sunday, we're going to have a great day of celebration and focus on the resurrection. And who wouldn't want to celebrate that? But you can't have a resurrection unless you first have a crucifixion. It requires us to pass through those moments. The last 6 weeks here in Lismore has been an incredibly difficult time. If you live here in Lismore, or in the Northern Rivers for that sake, you would agree with me it's been an incredibly challenging time for us as a community. And can I say, and I choose these words carefully, is to a certain extent we've witnessed a death in Lismore. Now, I'm not just talking physical, I'm talking about a death of a community. And in the midst of this tragedy, we've seen so many terrible, terrible things. But in the midst of all of this, we've seen people embrace a generosity that they wouldn't have done 8 weeks ago. Agreed? A concern that our community have for one another that wouldn't have been evident 8 weeks ago. Agreed? A willingness to serve. And I've made these comments that now that we've set up our food bank out there in the hall, we've had this amazing response from not only within our own church, it's actually people who are turning up to collect goods at the food bank and saying, can we help? Can we serve? And we're going, well, it seems like at the moment everybody wants to be serving. It's an incredible thing that if we had set up this food bank or done other things like this, you know, late last year or whatever, we would not have had that response. And in the midst of all of this, there is, dare I say it, and it's still early days, there's vision for a new beginning, new possibilities. People start to think about what could happen. But see, all of that wouldn't have happened without a flood. Now, I'm not diminishing the severity and the gravity of what's happened round about us. But it's because of the desperation and the tragedy that we've seen round about us has caused people to respond in these ways. It seems over and over and over again. You flick through the pages of the Bible and you'll see over and over and over again that it seems that God does his best work in the most turbulent of times. Now, there's probably a number of reasons for that, and it's quite possible that in the most turbulent of times, it is when people suddenly look up and start looking for God. And it's in those moments when they put their trust in him. If we want to enjoy a Sunday, we need to experience a Friday. And this was evident with Jesus. And it's the same with us. And for us, I believe, part of as we focus on the crucifixion of Jesus, he is calling us to crucify the old as God begins to resurrect the new. So whether it's within the community of Lismore, whether it's with buildings and physical things, but I think more importantly, with lives. That we, at the point of crucifying the old things, the things that are opposed to God, the things of old habits and sin and rebellion. God wants to crucify those things. And as we die to those things, he's desiring a new thing to resurrect within our lives. So we need a Friday. If we want a Sunday, we need a Friday. If we want a point of celebration, we also need to let go of the old and crucify that from the past. The second point is this. Everybody has a problem with the cross. This is something that we wrestle with today. For those of us who are keen followers of Jesus, we've probably wrestled this for a number of times and we've come to a conclusion. But for many people, the cross does not make sense. It does not make sense. And this was something even the people in Jesus' day struggled with. People saw that Jesus had power. They saw him perform miracles. He even raised people to life. He calmed the sea. His power was incredible. And there were people, not just the 12 disciples, but at a number of points, thousands of people. Remember, that's who he fed at one time. Thousands of people saw him perform miracles. Amazing wisdom. He spoke these amazing words and parables and truths. And yet here it is, the vision we have of him on the cross. He appeared completely powerless. The powerful Jesus, powerless. He seemed to have lost complete control. He seemed to lack wisdom. His mouth was shut on the cross. And yet on the cross, he remained in control. That was his vision and his ministry. People missed the point. Earlier on in Jesus' ministry, before he went to the cross, in John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." In death, life is possible to many. And Jesus is using, you know, the agricultural analogy of seeds producing many other seeds. Death can produce much fruit. People cry out for wisdom and truth. People cry out for power and influence. And yet when we come to Christ, he calls us to death. He calls us to die to ourselves. In a matter of fact, it appears he's saying that instead of holding on, he wants us to let go of our life. Now, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 seems to refer to this. 1 Corinthians 1, 22 to 24. Paul says, "Jews demanded signs and Greeks looked for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." You see, I think the problem is that we look for power and wisdom with our natural eyes in the wrong places. The world will refer to certain amounts of power or wisdom. And yet it's found, as Paul is saying here, in what appears to be a stumbling block or foolishness. As a matter of fact, it's in death we find true life. Secular wisdom says, grab all you can. Seek the power to control. Stand up tall and live. The cross says, lose your life, and that's where you will truly live. Foolishness and stumbling blocks, and yet there are the pearls of wisdom. The third point is this, that Friday means the beginning of change. Friday means the beginning of change. Good Friday says, once you have been to the cross, everything changes. According to Paul, foolishness and stumbling blocks actually become power and wisdom. It's one of the strange things about the ministry of Jesus. Everything gets turned on its head. In the sludge and mud and despair of Lismore, even in these early days, and sometimes it can be hard to find, new shoots are emerging. There are new opportunities, and there will be new beginnings. But here's the point. We can't pretend it didn't happen. We can't ignore it. We can't bypass it. What happened on Monday, February the 28th, 2022? It's like a line was drawn in the sand in the community of Lismore. And we can't go back and undo it. Yesterday is gone. And look, I'm just using Lismore as an analogy. I'm sure for many of you, you've experienced death and loss. Whether it's the loss of a loved one or a spouse or a friend or whatever. Here's the stark reality. You can't undo that. You can't go back and make it different again. What has happened has happened. Death is death. Yesterday has gone, today is here. The question we ask is, what does God want for us for tomorrow? What is it that he wants to change within us? And of course, you will know, any of you who have experienced loss, you'll know that things have got to change. Relationships have got to change. Our environment has to change. Lismore has to change. We're going to be different, a different community than what we were last year. Friday means the beginning of change. And my fourth point is this, that Jesus demonstrated faith over circumstances. I think if you worship regularly here with us together, you'd be reminded that one of my common encouragements to you as Lismore Baptist Church is that God is with us all the time. Not just in this building, not just when we're in our Bible study groups, not just when we're in prayer, God is with us all the time. Wherever we are, there's nowhere that we can go where he is not. Let me ask you this question. Does it always feel like that? Does it always feel like God is always with us? Can I answer on your behalf? Is that okay? Depends on what the answer depends what the answer says. I'd say quite often we don't feel that. Is that okay? Quite often we don't feel like that. Sometimes it feels like God has turned his back on us. He's forgotten us. Some people probably, they may not have verbalized, they'd probably ask, where was God on Monday, February the 28th of this year? And whether you were tangibly involved in rescue efforts or you saw all of the pictures or the vision on the TV or whatever it is, there are desperate, desperate times. And you can ask those questions. Where was God on Monday, February the 28th? Let's, for a moment, turn our attention to the cross. On that day, Jesus on the cross. And I want to show you two passages. Now, they're actually from two different Gospels, but I think they give us a bit of a picture of Jesus' response on the cross. The first one in Matthew 27, verse 46. Jesus cries out these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? We also read in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, can you see the tension between these two verses? Both uttered by Jesus on the cross. They don't seem to naturally fit together. There's a cry of anguish, but there's also a prayer of commitment. Now, some people will say, well, of course, in that first passage, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, that's obvious because God turned his back, as we seem to appear to understand, turned his back because he could not face the sin that Christ was carrying upon him as he hung on the cross. Our sin, everybody's sin. So, of course, it would appear like God had forsaken him. And some will say, well, Jesus knew his destiny. Jesus knew what he was to go through. But here's the point. Jesus, fully God, yet fully human, still death was still death for Jesus. He still experienced the same pain as the two thieves on either side of the cross. And yet it was his complete trust that enabled him to give all that he had. Look at that cross. And what is modeled for us in the darkest moment, we can still trust. And even though it seems like we can utter these words as well, God, God, why have you forgotten us? We see over and over, even in the Old Testament, it was one of those cries of King David as he struggled. And so many of the Psalms are very similar. God, God, it seems like you've gone and completely forgotten me. And there's the cry. As we experience death and loss and disappointment and tragedy, as we go through our Good Friday experiences. And yet, whether it was for King David or certainly for Christ on the cross, there is that confidence to know that even though that may be our earthly experience, we can know that God has never left our side. So the question I want to leave you with is, what is your Friday? If we're called to carry the cross, that's what we read in Matthew. We're called to pick up and carry our cross. What are we called to die to? Now, some people will say that, I died to my old self. I became a follower of Jesus and everything's fine now because me and God are like this. But part of our journey on earth is that we're continually needing to die to other parts of our lives, aren't we? I don't think we ever completely surrender our complete life, because there's lots of times there's things, whatever we go through, we start to pick things up again, place trust in them, follow people, follow things, follow possessions, whatever. And God continues to call us to die to ourselves. So Christ can have dominion in me. Death has been experienced so new life can begin. It may be that we need to die to more than just possessions, and there's certainly been people in Lismore who have died to their possessions. But maybe Christ is calling us also to die to our old selves and place our trust in Him. So the old John Wilson has gone, the new John Wilson can begin. And so it is for all of you. What I plan now is that we will join in communion together. We will drink from a cup and eat from a biscuit, representing the blood and body of Jesus Christ that was spilt and that hung on the cross. And it's a certain way what he's saying here is Jesus is saying, you need to be with me in this. You need to carry your own cross. You need to lose your life so that you can live just as Jesus lost his life so that we may live. So today he's calling us to die to ourselves. You know, the part of the person within us that just wants control. You know that one? I don't know, maybe you don't. I still have that from time to time. It raises its ugly head. I want control. I'm going to lay that down. Pride, thinking that I'm better than other people, or rejection, thinking that I'm worse than everybody else. Whatever it is, these attitudes that we carry, that Jesus says, I call you to lay them down, put them to death. I just want us to, whatever is comfortable for us, if it's closing our eyes, if that helps, just to reflect on what Christ has done for us, and as he calls us to take up our cross. And I'm just going to pray, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, that he made the perfect sacrifice for us, dying on a cross, taking on all of our sin so that we might be forgiven and made right with you, Heavenly Father. And there are so many within this room, I'm sure, can say thank you that you died for my sin and that I belong to you. There may be some in this room who are still wrestling with that. And I would pray, Heavenly Father, that you by your Spirit would speak to each one of us regarding our response to what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. But I also pray, Heavenly Father, that you will remind us and challenge us that as followers of Christ, we pick up the cross daily. As we die to ourselves daily, And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would show us those areas of our life that we lay at the foot of the cross, we nail to the cross, we crucify today. Show us, Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, those areas that we need to die to. And I pray, Heavenly Father, as we eat from this biscuit representing the body of Christ, broken for us, and we drink from a cup representing the blood of Christ on the cross shed for us, that we would be associated with you, that we die to ourselves, so that we can be resurrected in you as we eat and drink together. Now, I invite anyone who loves the Lord Jesus, whether you are part of Lismore Baptist Church or not, you're welcome to join with us. I'm going to invite our stewards to come and stand at the front and make these elements available to everybody. And in your own time, you might want to spend a moment just reflecting on what we've just been talking about this morning. In your own time, when you're ready, you can come, take a cup with a biscuit and a cup with juice, make your way back to your seats. Eat the biscuit in your own time, but how about we drink from the cup together, remembering what Christ has done for us. Let's take and drink together as we die to ourselves again. Lord Jesus, resurrect us into the person that you want us to be. And we just trust in you, Heavenly Father, that as we lay down our lives, no longer being in control, it's only you. It's only you. And we've got no power outside of what you decide to give us. So therefore, it's your power. We have no wisdom outside of your wisdom, so it's only your wisdom. Grace, forgiveness, love. It's all yours. Because it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.